Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael Cohen II, and with me, as always, is
Matthew. I'll change my name to Addison Ray Part 2 if we don't have another He's All That coming to Netflix, because apparently Addison Rae has like a 75,000 film contract for Netflix, even after getting loads of criticism from people for He's All That, because Netflix thinks, oh shit, people hate this, let's just give them more of it, because that's a good business model. That's my whole middle name, by the way. My last name is Haas, so it's just longer every time.
Were you able to like write that on forms?
Yeah, it cost quite a bit of money, but because they charge you per word, I think, so. Yeah. Kind of like tombstones, you know, they charge per letter. Well, you know.
That's kind of sad.
It is. I think they charge per letter. I think they do.
That's sad to think about.
So it's like if you're broke, it just says like hi or something like that, or like, or bye. Oh, that's sad.
I'm just going to have my tombstone just say Mike, because it's only four letters. I'm not even going to have a date on it. Just going to say Mike.
No, nope. Mike.
Wow. Yep. Oh, God.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, today on the show, we are venturing back into the world of direct-to-video sequels. Or reboots, or whatever the fuck this is. And, remake. I don't know. It's, our Direct From Hell series. Today we are covering the Netflix film He's All That. A gender-swapped remake of She's All That, the 1999 teen classic, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, I liked She's All That a lot, but mainly because I have a huge crush on Rachel Lee Cook, who is in this movie as well.
Oh, that was her. Okay.
Yeah, she was the mom in this.
Ah, gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, we have two returning cast members from the original, Rachel Lee Cook and Matthew Lillard. And
can I say something that's embarrassing?
Sure.
I thought her mom was Winona Ryder.
Oh. Yes, I thought that. I can see the similarities. Yeah.
They're okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Due to the fact that Matthew Lillard is in this movie, and he and I are both in the movie Home Run Showdown, I am only 2 degrees away from Addison Rae.
Yep. I mean, is that something to be proud of, or?
I don't know. She is the second most popular person on TikTok.
I mean, that's important to some people. I'm not one of those people, but it's important.
She is a TikTok star, and I'm an old man, so I don't get TikTok. We have a TikTok now, folks. I'm still begging.
But we don't know.
I'm still begging you to let us know what to do.
Yep.
We don't know what to do with it. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Maybe I should watch some Addison Rae videos and get some ideas. I don't know. Anyways, so this film stars Addison Rae, as I said, and Tanner Buchanan, who people may know from Cobra Kai and a recurring role on Girl Meets World. We also have Madison Pettis, who people may know from American Pie Presents Girls Rules.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she was in that.
We covered that one.
People will know her from when she was a little girl in the movie The Game Plan with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
It's a good movie, actually, and she plays his daughter in that when she was, like, you know, really little.
Oh, was that the meme where, like, someone's, like, talking in the backseat of the car and he, like, turns his head? Is that where that comes from?
No, that's, like, Escape from Witch Mountain or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, she's in He's All That, and, I mean, which we're watching now, but she was also in a previous fan favorite episode of ours, American Pie Girls Rules. It's our most watched video on YouTube.
For some reason.
It's literally got thousands of views.
No idea why. It's not our best work, not even close to our best work,
no,
in fact.
But... some reason people like it, so there we go. You know, maybe it'll be our link into becoming Addison Rae famous. Anyway, so we also have Rachel Lee Cook in the movie, returning, as I said, but she's playing a different character because this is like a reboot, not a sequel. The film was actually written by the same writer as the original film, R. Lee Fleming Jr. And directed by Mark Waters, known for movies like Vampire Academy, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, The Spiderwick Chronicles, Bad Santa 2, Mr. Popper's Penguins. I just like saying that. Mean Girls. The Lindsay Lohan version of Freaky Friday. Head Over Heels, Just Like Heaven. Yeah. Cheerleader Death Squad, the TV movie. I don't know what that is, but I just like the title.
What cheerleader? Was it called Death Squad?
Yeah, Cheerleader Death Squad.
Wow.
Yeah. And anyways, and Magic Camp, which was recently on Disney Plus. Co-starring Gillian Jacobs from Community. So like I said, Matthew Lillard is in this as well as Principal Bosch. We do have Jordan Van Drainen or whatever, played by Peyton Meyer from Girl Meets World. We also have the character of Nisha, played by Annie Jacob. We have Bryn Queller, the sister of the main character of Cameron Queller, played by Tanner Buchanan, played by Isabella Crovetti. We have Myra Molly playing the character of Quinn. We also have Kourtney Kardashian appearing as a basically a veiled version of herself in a character named Jessica Miles Torres. Yeah. So that's pretty much our, you know, major cast members here. So, Matt.
Yeah.
What happens in this movie?
So, Addison Rae's character, forget her name.
Her character is named Paget Sawyer.
Sorry, Paget Sawyer. So she's like, basically plays herself. She's a social media, and I hate to use this phrase, influencer, which I hate. So like, just like, I feel it in my bones. I hate that phrase, influencer. What does that even mean? I mean, I know what it means, but it's just so on the nose. It's like, you're literally saying that you influence others to do what you want them to do. Like, it's like, it's like admitting that you're a propagandist. Like, yeah, I do propaganda. Like, you're just out saying it.
I did find some of this movie funny. Some of the lines, like, there was a part where somebody was pointing out the fact that you're basically like a cult leader.
Yeah,
which kind of are, you know.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. I mean, so she's, you know, got a lot of followers on social media. And I kind of just go through her routine where, you know, she'll get up early and put makeup on and all this stuff, and then she'll go back to bed, and then she'll hit record as though she just woke up, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know, talking to all of her, you know, followers in, like, you know, the live chat, and just, you know, trying to do, like, you know, like a message, you know, a message of hope and, you know, positivity and all that stuff. And then, you know, she, you know, answers a few people's questions, and then she, you know, gets ready to go to school. And then we find out that, you know, she pretty much just lives with her mom, a kind of a somewhat working class type of home. It's, you know, not at all like a, you know, like, her bedroom kind of looks like it would be like in a really kind of like ritzy house, you know, but that's just how she set it up, again, because this whole movie is about, you know, being very image centric and shallow and that kind of thing. So her bedroom pretty much just looks nothing like, you know, the rest of the house.
Yeah.
House done. And her mom is a nurse, and, you know, she just got home from, like, you know, a 12-hour shift at work from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And, you know, we start talking. We find out that, Paget's actually been paying some of the bills, you know, against her mom's wishes, you know, because she's making, you know, quite a bit of money, you know, with her, you know, social media career. So she went and paid, like, what was it, the plumbing bill or something? I forgot.
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, I will tell you, I mean, her goals are basically, she's doing this. I mean, sure, there is the whole image, you know, sort of thing that she's getting from it, but she's also using the money that she's making for it to pay for her college, is what she's hoping to do. So I, you know, it's at least slightly altruistic, you know, it's not like a, you know, completely selfish thing. At least she's paying for an education, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, she's not really totally that self-centered. And so she goes to school, and she actually pretends to live in a nicer neighborhood and to be picked up by her rich friends. So she actually has them meet outside, like, just a different apartment complex or something. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a nice fancy, like, apartment or apartment building / condo building or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So she goes in the car, and, you know, they're kind of, you know, they, you know, well, at least one of the friends, they both kind of act like just like, you know, like they think they're above, you know, certain parts of the city or whatever, you know, because they're come from like rich families or whatever. So, you know, very typical class, you know, antagonism that the upper class has against the lower classes. And by the way, the feeling is mutual, and eventually we will have a war with each other and we'll see who wins. Anyway, sorry, that came out weird.
Was that a threat?
No, it's not a threat. I'm just saying, just looking, you know, seeing the lines being drawn in the sand, and just, you know, yes, every video I have, or every recording, they gotta bring in like weird communist shit. But about he's all that. Okay. Yes. So they're doing like a music video for her boyfriend, who is also like some social media star, because I guess that makes sense that you would go out with someone just like you, mm-hmm. and you both happen to go to the same high school together, and you both happen to be huge social media stars with like millions of followers. Okay, I guess that's possible that could happen.
Yeah, because two of them in the same high school would happen.
Yeah, it just in the same grade as well. But whatever. Okay, mm-hmm. no matter. But we'll skip that kind of thing. And it turns out that, you know, he was filming like, I guess, like not his music video, like not in like the richest part of town. Like they said it was like, oh, this is the valley of the valley. Like, oh man, that's so rough and tumble, like, you know. Yeah. And it turns out that he invited her to show up to the music video, but he thought it would be a good idea to cheat on her in his trailer at the appointed time that she was supposed to.
Well, no. From what I understand, is he had actually said not to visit the set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was cheating on her, and she caught him, and then she went on this really long, angry rant. But her quote friend was filming, we'll find out later. It's pretty obvious to anyone who's like above 2 years old to figure this out. But she was filming the whole interaction, and then within like a day, she became like the enemy of Twitter, because that's what usually happens, is, you know, you do one wrong thing or whatever, and immediately your scarlet letter, you know, you're finished. Which is why I don't have Twitter or any of those kind of big social media platforms, because they're pretty ruthless out there. You know, I always joke about, you know, at least with like fundamentalist religions, like your sins are forgiven once you go into the fold, like they're just wiped clean. But with like social media, it's like those sins are never forgiven. Like you can never, like no matter how much, you know, whipping of yourself you do, for like, it just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's somehow that you know, she starts losing the followers because of this and stuff, and it's just like, oh no, you know, she had a bubble booger.
Yeah, God forbid that you cry when you find out that your boyfriend for like the past 2 years has been cheating on you. Like, yeah. Terrible to have emotions or express emotion. No?
God forbid she actually cares about anything.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so we got that going on, and you know, he's like a, you know, this aspiring piece of shit hip-hop artist. you know. Yep, who takes his shirt off all the time. Yeah, he was cheating with a backup dancer. This leads to a bet at the school, because she breaks up with Jordan Van Drainen. JVD.
What a name.
JVD, yep. You know? It's almost like JCVD, you know? He's almost like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Anyway, so
yeah, right.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, oh God. So this was a movie, Matt.
It was certainly a movie. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had all of the features that a movie has. Yes.
Yes. It they had cameras.
Mm-hmm.
They had a director.
Yep.
actors, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. We'll give them that. We'll give them that, yeah.
Yeah. Locations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lighting.
Check.
Yep. Distribution.
Distribution, screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
A list of credits.
Stars.
Loosely speaking, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the main guy, he's from Cobra Kai, and that's a good show. So. Yeah.
Well, he's an awesome actor, actually. I really like Tanner Buchanan as an actor. I think he needs to be in something bigger, you know? So. Because, I mean, I liked him when I saw him. Like, the first time I saw him was on Girl Meets World. And I thought he was good on there. So, I think the kid has a future if he stays away from movies like this.
Oh, man. Hey, it's probably a decent paycheck.
I'm sure it is. And
he's hey, you know, I've got season 4 of Cobra Kai coming up. And yeah. I can also do this on the side. And
on paper, this isn't a bad idea for a movie. You know,
yeah. It's on paper. A lot of movies are good on paper. True.
Yeah.
It's executing them that mm-hmm. you know make.
And I mean, the first is. I mean, even though it's a loose adaptation of My Fair Lady, which was a adaptation of the play Pygmalion, which was an adaptation of the story of Pygmalion.
Which itself, I'm pretty sure this concept has existed throughout the entire world.
Yeah.
History of the world. Even before uh-huh. stories, I mean. I mean like just people in their everyday life would be like, you know, that guy or girl would actually probably look good if like they just did something different. You know what I mean? Like it's like that's not a
yeah, I mean because the new the actual history of the story of like Pygmalion, like the original idea of Pygmalion was about a guy who created a statue of the perfect woman.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So, and it came to life or something. So, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't know.
So it's like Weird Science, basically.
Yeah.
But before Weird Science.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. And, in my opinion, after watching this movie, I really wanted to watch My Fair Lady again. Anyway, so, So, do you want to take a break here, Matt?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll come back and talk more about the plot of this thing. Be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
Drop it like F. Scott.
Oh, my God.
So, anyways, this movie continues where, just like in She's All That, there is a bet take a quote-unquote outcast or nerd and turn them into the new prom king in this case.
Yeah.
And that that is the school's least popular boy, Cameron Queller, who's actually a pretty cool guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit full of himself, but, yeah. You know, thinks he's better than all of the normies, but, you know, whatever. He's got one friend that he likes a lot.
He's an antisocial photography student. So Padgett basically goes up and tries to befriend him, and she gains information about him from his younger sister, Bryn.
You know, as one does.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a whole, this bet thing. Basically, her friend Alden bet her about it, and that, you know, the person that loses the bet, you know, is a loser forever.
Which, how would that even be established? That's a whole.
They explain it later in the movie in the credits, but we'll get to that. True.
Okay. Yeah.
They start to become close. She basically wants to become closer to him. She finds out that he is into horses and horse riding, decides to begin taking horse riding lessons with him. She begins to bond with him more and more, and discovers as they're going on that he lost his mother years ago, and they live with their grandmother, who has a weird obsession with Tom Selleck. And
yep.
She basically tries to, fix up his appearance, you know, because he has long hair, long shaggy hair, so that makes him ugly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just like in the original, Rachel Lee Cook, one of the hottest women on the face of the planet, wore glasses, so that made her ugly.
I mean, those are the rules, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't argue with the rules, so...
Yep. Take her glasses off, and all of a sudden she's hot. You cut the dude's hair, and all of a sudden he's hot. Even though he was already attractive to begin with. I mean,
to be honest, I did not like the haircut they gave him at all. I thought it looked stupid on him. Yeah. But like that's me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, not every hairstyle looks good on every person.
No.
Because every person has a different shaped head. So.
No, we all have the exact same head.
I guess so, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she begins to bond with him, finds out about the mother, you know, dying. And their father is residing in Sweden and sends them random gifts from time to time, like every few months or so.
I didn't understand the random gifts. What are they even supposed to signify? Just like random.
I think
shit.
It was just basically like, I still think about you, kids. Here's some crap from Sweden.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, here's a crappy Barbie doll from Sweden or whatever. Because, you know, that's the way my dad showed me that he loved me.
He's got you a Barbie doll from Sweden?
Yes.
Or a Swedish version of a Barbie.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I still have it.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I sleep with it every night.
Okay. It's getting weird, but...
Wait, none of that is true. Anyway, so... there's this party... That, at her, that her friend is having for her birthday, and it's called Drop It Like F. Scott. It's a Great Gatsby themed birthday party, which Cameron points out to the fact that, you know, if you actually read Great Gatsby or watch the movie, you realize that the excess of the world that they lived in was basically, you know, pointless. And
it was, yeah, it was a satire on the ruling class.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't meant to be emulated. It was
which is what this movie is, I think, doing by doing that. You know, so it's actually kind of clever in a way, because they're basically showing how these kids misunderstand the concept of Great Gatsby by doing what Great Gatsby is satiring, and in fact, the movie is then satiring.
Well, that whole story, you know, if you actually understand it, which I know most people don't read, or people could read, but people don't really comprehend anymore, unfortunately, for most people. And that's not an ageist thing. That just seems a general things going on in our society where we could take in information, but we can't actually comprehend what it is. So that whole story, you know, of the Great Gatsby or whatever, his entire life is a fraud, all of it. I mean, like, from literally, they even mentioned the fact that he has a fake bookcases to make it look like he has books. They're just like boxes in the wall to make it look like he has more books than what he has. So it's like, obviously, that's meant to sort of portray the sort of just farce of his entire life. I mean, he built up this whole persona.
Which
he,
makes
he
sense, because that's kind of what is going on with Padgett's life. Because her life is a fraud. So there. I mean, I will tell you, some of the writing in this movie is actually clever.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, you know, that's going to go over the heads of all the teenagers that are watching this movie.
Probably, and probably most of the adults as well.
Yes. yeah. So, anyways, they're at this Great Gatsby themed party. There's a sexual assault in this movie, like most, you know, teen movies that we cover on this podcast.
Which is weird, because in the old movies, they didn't really even acknowledge that it, like, happened. It was just like, oh, that's normal. But now, I guess they tried it. But even then, they didn't really acknowledge it that much, even in this movie, which is weird because it came out literally like a week ago or whatever, 2 weeks ago.
What happens is Jordan, Mr. Take My Shirt Off All the Time with Great Abs, tries to get back together with Padgett. She's not having it. And he then runs into Bryn, Cameron's younger sister, who I'm not understanding how old she is in this movie, is supposed to be. I don't know how much younger she is than Cameron. But if Cameron's, like, say, a senior, and so is so is Jordan, I mean, there's a chance Jordan's already 18, so I'm just going to make that point.
She's supposed to be a sophomore, but
yeah,
the looks of it, she looks like a very young sophomore, like 15 at the oldest.
Yeah.
And he's like full blown. Yeah, that scene made me really uncomfortable. I'm like, dude, like,
especially come since on, man. Especially since I so the ages between these actors, Peyton Meyer was born November 24th, 1998. And Isabella Cramp, who plays, or who goes by Isabella Crivetti, was born December 18th, 2004. She's 16 in real life. And Peyton Meyer is like 22.
Right, I'm not good at math. I'm like, okay, so he's like 6 years older. Yeah. In real life, I mean. Yeah. In the movie,
he's in the movie, like, maybe two. But still.
I'm like, dude, you can tell she's a lot younger than you, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like, come on, man. Like, but then again, I don't think they were even thinking about that, to be honest. I think they didn't think this whole entire movie through. So, yeah.
So, I mean, at least we don't really see it happen, so because it happens off screen, which is good. Yeah. So,
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. So, I'm just glad that isn't like Sleepover, where we actually see an event happen and stuff and other things. So
Sleepover, what happened? I mean, I know I was drunk when we recorded that, but
that was where a much older actor tried to have sex with a much younger actress in
what? Oh yeah, the dude in the car. Right?
Yeah.
They were just like parked out in some like public park.
Yeah, where like everybody's by and he's trying to have sex with her there. Yeah. Anyways, so
Sleepover. That's good. 2004. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the year that the actress who plays Bryn was born.
Exactly. Oh God, I feel so fucking old now.
I know.
Like, oh man, like. Does it not even feel that long ago to me? And I realize, mm-hmm. like, people fucking born in that year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I hate to break it to you, Matt, but people are born every year.
I know, it just gets worse. I know, exactly. No, I'm serious. Like, so, like, I don't even know what I'm saying now. But, like, yeah. Just, ADHD moment. Okay, so, like, next year will be, my 20 year of graduating high school, and I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, shit, that means that someone born the exact day I graduated high school is going to be 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like, and that was 2 years before I myself became 20.
Yeah.
I think really weird when it comes to math, age math like that, where I start comparing myself to other people. I'm like, wait a minute, that was 2 years before I myself became 20.
But it's even weirder because I'm past the 25th anniversary of when I graduated high school. So yeah. Everyone that's been born after I graduated from high school is legally allowed to drink in the United States.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So there's that. That really puts things into perspective. So anyways,
I just want to say something really quick.
Go ahead.
Before. Okay. So I mentioned that I was drunk when I recorded, the Sleepover. I wasn't like completely drunk, but I had like a shot of whiskey like every half hour, and that was like a 2 hour long episode. So that kind of tells you a little something about how much I talk when it comes to that alcohol. But, yeah. You know, if anyone wants like a challenge where it's like, I want Matt to record this while he's someone, I'm not going to get totally inebriated. So if anyone requests that, that's not going to happen. But like, if it's like, oh, I want to hear Matt's thoughts when he's drank a little bit or whatever, then, you know, we'll see what we can do about that. But,
yeah. Send me a message at mike@cullenpark.com and we'll take care of that. Anywho, back to the plot here. So Bryn is basically making out with, I guess off screen, with Jordan, with Mr. JVD, and and then he tries to, you know, go further with her, basically. And she's not having it.
Yep.
Which is good. Not to deny anybody their sexual desires, whatever they want, that's their thing. I'm just saying that, you know, you shouldn't get with somebody named Jordan Van Drainen or whatever. I mean, I'm sure Peyton Meyer's a great guy in real life because, you know, I'm just saying his character sucks. So,
Right. Man, that's the point. I mean, yeah, he's supposed to be exactly a complete asshole.
Anyways, so Cameron gets in a fight and goes all, you know, kung fu on the kid. And then after Cameron beats Jordan's ass, basically, Jordan throws Cameron's camera into the water, a camera which we learned earlier was a gift from his mother who passed away.
Yeah.
So that sucks. And so he dives into the water, gets that, and then I don't know. So the next day, Alden, who is one of Padgett's friends, turns on Padgett and reveals her plot to become prom queen alongside Jordan. Because at the end of the party, Jordan and Alden kind of got together. Also at the party, Nisha and Quinn got together as well. They were, Padgett's other best friend and Cameron's best friend.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got that going on. Anyways, so, you know, that's just a little subplot. So anyways, Alden tries to, ruin Padgett's life, basically. And wants to become, you know, prom queen alongside Jordan, revealing her true colors, that she was responsible for live streaming Padgett's breakup. So she, was recording or running, you know, live on purpose. Yep.
Yep.
Like a piece of shit.
Yeah, I saw that from the very beginning when, like, oh, she was still recording.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, okay, like, why would you do that unless you were, like, doing it on purpose? Like,
yeah. So, anyways, Padgett is, you know, has been falling for Cameron. She's afraid to express her feelings after she kisses him. He invites her over to check out his dark room.
Yeah, man.
Which sounds dark, dirtier than it should.
No, it's where the photos are.
I know, I'm just joking. Just saying it, check out my dark room, baby.
Yeah, check out my dark room, man. It's where I brood and with my super cool thoughts, and, you know, I'm such an intellectual, and you know, I hate the world, man. Or whatever.
Anyways, Bryn finds out that Padgett kissed Cameron, so she advises him to ask her to prom, and you got to do a promposal. I guess this is a thing, because the world is the strangest place it's ever been. Anyway, so, and I'm really glad I'm not in high school now. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, me too, totally.
I feel bad for teenagers now.
Me too. Of all the shit they got to deal with.
Yeah.
On top of just regular school shit, but like...
I mean, I was treated like shit a lot in high school by certain people. And in grade school specifically, more so than high school. High school things weren't as bad because I found my people and things like that. But it's just so sad. You got the internet and everything to deal with now too. You know, you've got this, which this movie does kind of emphasize. Which, I mean, it's a good thing too, to kind of basically point out the fact that, ironically, that being a social influencer isn't a cool thing,
right? Yeah, it's not
in a movie that stars a social influencer.
What's that?
I said in a movie that stars a social influencer.
Exactly. That's kind of, yeah, the weird part of it. Unless she's going to quit being a TikToker because of this movie, then that would be, you know, an interesting message, I guess. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I highly doubt that, especially when one of her best friends is Kourtney Kardashian. Anyway, so the...
yep.
And that's why Kourtney's in the movie. Anyway, so the...
yep.
So anyways, fast forward through this a little bit. We've got... at that point, we've got the whole famous rehash of this of the "I'm a bet, I'm a fucking bet" scene from the
original. Right.
That's my favorite line in the original movie. So, yeah, we've got that scene where Alden basically exposes the challenge that Padgett and her made, and that makes Cameron angry, of course. And so, on the day of the prom. Padgett's mom tells her that, you know, she should still go to the prom, but be her real self, not worry about anything else, you know? Cameron refuses to go to the prom, but Bryn, realizing that her brother has been smiling for the first time ever since their mother's death, since Padgett came into his life, basically persuades him to go. He doesn't show up, and Padgett ends up declining her role as prom queen, which she won. And Alden thinks she came in second, so she can come up and get the thing. Oh yeah, and Jordan was prom king, by the way. So Cameron, you know, didn't win that. Didn't win prom king like the bet was supposed to be. Right. And this is all after we had this big dance off.
Oh God, I hated that so much.
Which was amazingly made fun of by Matthew Lillard in the movie itself, yes. Which is great.
He was great at that, yeah.
So I was reading somewhere, we'll get to this in trivia a little bit. Guess how long Matthew Lillard was on set?
I don't know. A few minutes. I don't know.
He filmed everything, including all of his voiceover stuff that they have throughout the movie, in a half hour.
Oh wow! Man, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like him a lot. I think
I do too. I love Matthew Lillard. If you're listening to this, Matt, I really like you on the show. So please.
Reach who out. Did he play in the first movie? She's all that, because it's been like decades since I've
He was basically
it.
The Jordan kind of character.
Oh, okay.
He was kind of the Jordan sort of character. He was more like the backup dancer sort of character, I guess, in a way, because he was the Freddie Prinze's character was dating a girl that broke up with him for Matthew Lillard's character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Matthew Lillard was like a star on MTV on like The Real World or something in that movie. So,
oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, not in real life, but in the movie, his character. Yeah, I was gonna say, wait. His character was like a reality TV star on. I'm pretty sure on like The Real World. It's been years since I've seen the movie, so I'm trying to remember. I might go back and rewatch it now to kind of take the taste of this movie out of my mouth.
yeah.
But anyways, Alden didn't win second, so she doesn't get to be prom queen. This like total goth girl ended up winning it.
Which I didn't understand. Said it was a right. But why do so many people write in her name?
I don't know.
In the first place, they didn't explain how.
No,
that
they didn't. No, they dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it mattered, but
yeah,
because it wasn't like that important of a plot point to really, yeah. You know.
And when Padgett declines her prom queen role, she goes through a whole thing where she basically explains who she really is, that she's not rich, she, you know, lives in a house, her mom, you know, blah blah blah, and she shows like pictures of herself and what she really is like. you know, when she's not all made up and everything in this, like, sweet sort of moment in the movie. And she knows that Cameron's not there, but then she ends up going outside. Cameron rides up on a horse outside the school.
Of course, like you do.
I mean, I always did that.
Yeah.
I actually took a horse to school every day. I don't know about you.
Just sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Like on Thursdays or something?
Yeah, it was mainly a Thursday type of deal.
Yeah. I was more of a Wednesday guy myself. But anyway, so the... he basically, you know, forgives her, they kiss, and then they ride off on, they show a thing where they're riding on horses and doing, like, her little social media shit wherever they're visiting different places, and then at the end they both get tattoos that say loser on their arms. And then there's my favorite part of the movie, the credits.
Oh yeah, the credits are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that made me realize the movie was over. And Yep. So that was He's All That. Do you want to take another break here, Matt, and then we can come back and we can talk about some trivia and reviews?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are
Yep.
All right. Hope you enjoyed those little ads or whatever the hell they were. Anyway, so, folks, you ready for trivia?
Trivs?
Yes, here's some trivs.
Trivs, yeah.
Yes. The school where Padgett attends is the same school from the original She's All That. So, they filmed at the same school. R. Lee Fleming Jr. also wrote She's All That. Okay.
Interesting.
During the makeover scene, Padgett says, "You have to trust me," which is what Anna Paquin's character says before making over Rachel Lee Cook's character in the original. Okay, a COVID-19 testing kiosk at downtown LA's Union Station was shuttered December 1st, 2020, so that the film could use the iconic terminal as a location.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Matthew Lillard delivers all the school announcements throughout the film. This would be the second collaboration between Peyton Meyer and Tanner Buchanan after Disney Channel's Girl Meets World. Matthew Lillard was only on set for 30 minutes. Rachel Lee Cook's second next Netflix film, her first was Love Guaranteed. This is Addison Rae's movie debut. Never would have guessed that, because she's just so... Wait.
She wasn't that bad.
Oh, my God.
I mean... Yeah, there were moments here and there where she was, like, terrible. But, like, the whole movie, she was...
Yeah, I know. There were moments where she was good. The prom scene features Rachel Lee Cook's character recognizing a cover of Kiss Me and wondering where she had heard the song before. This is a deliberate nod to the original She's All That, which Cook starred in, and featured the original song by Sixpence None the Richer. Rachel Lee Cook and Matthew Lillard are the only two actors from the original movie to star in the remake, though they are not reprising their original roles. Cameron says to Padgett, "Am I a bet? Am I a fucking bet?" Rachel Lee Cook's character Lainey Boggs said the same thing in the 1999 film. Okay. And that's all the trivia. You ready for you ready for some reviews?
Yeah, let's go ahead with the reviews. Let's do it.
Okay. Here's a 1 out of 10. Written on my birthday, August 28th, 2021.
Oh, interesting.
Tandem 95065 says, "Too much cringe. I cringe so hard that my soul climbed out of my body and now I'm doomed to roam the earth as a ghost. Cringe for all eternity."
Wow.
Another one. A 1 out of 10. Written same day, August 28th. By M. Burt 93. Forced to watch. And their review is, "The reviews are more entertaining than the movie. That's my review."
Oh.
Another 1 out of 10. from MK93, written on August 27th, 2021. Wow. The headline is, "The only good acting in this movie was from the horse."
Wow.
What was this movie? Didn't even make sense one bit. Terrible acting from Addison. The scene transitions, the angles, the storyline, the Gen Z-infested BS and random dance-off, LMAO. It was a hot mess. I was looking forward to this all week, and it was a big letdown. Do not watch.
Wow.
Here's one from Glittered Sweet Shadow, written on the 27th of August. 1 out of 10. What the heck? Who held Matthew Lillard and Rachel Lee Cook at gunpoint to star in this mess? Okay. Okay. Worst movie ever distributed by Netflix. Addison Rae was a mistake for the lead. From Trenters, written on August 29th, 2021. Addison Rae tried method acting for this role. The method did not work. P.S. You're better off enjoying this movie with a blindfold on and the music turned up. I don't know what that meant.
Hey, I'm not even sure what it means yet.
Yeah. Another headline, I'm just going to read some of the headlines here. It says, "Watch the 1999 movie instead." Another one says, "Addison Rae is the worst actress I've seen in a Netflix production." Another one says, "Not everyone can act and produce a good movie." I'm trying to find any good reviews. So far, the highest review I found is a 2 out of 10.
Wow.
Somebody is arguing that they couldn't rate it a 0.5 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Another one says, if you like the original, do not watch. All right, here's another 1 out of 10 I'll read really quick, and this is from T. Danis on August 27th. TikTok celebrities are not good actors, and this is a 1 out of 10. The actors in this movie aren't considered actors. The idea of remaking a movie is great, but it's how you make it. The Gen Z setting is really disgusting and cringe. It's all about followers and who's the biggest D. And who has the bigger D, I'm sorry. It's all white trash, which is what a huge turnoff. The only good actor, well, amazing actor is Tanner Buchanan. Good movie, idea, bad acting and setting. Another one says Addison Rae is the worst actress alive, which I don't think so, but she's still bad. Yeah, okay, here's, yeah, I see a 5 out of 10. That's the highest so far, which, isn't even a good review of the movie, too. Yeah, so basically, there are no good reviews for this movie. I was hoping to find somebody that actually liked it, but I am not seeing any yet. And I've scrolled through most of these. Let me see. There's a... Yeah, other ones are like, I cannot describe how bad this movie is. Somebody who doesn't understand the English language wrote, doesn't worth my time. That is their headline. Doesn't worth my time.
Doesn't worth my time. Interesting.
That's gonna hurt my head.
Doesn't worth your time?
Yeah. Okay, here's a 5 out of 10 that I'm gonna read just because. This is from Megan Hodgson on August 28th, 2021. A 5 out of 10. Elmo is better. It wasn't necessarily the acting that was bad. The acting was mediocre. It was what they made them do and say that messed the whole movie up and made it completely cringy. Not only that, it was very predictable as well. I felt like every other cheesy teen drama... it felt like every other cheesy teen drama to ever exist. I don't recommend watching it. It was definitely something. And if you do watch it... watch it at your own risk of being disappointed. I was even surprised that Addison's acting wasn't all that bad. Thought it would be worse. So that's a bad review, but they still gave it a 5 out of 10. That's just...
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. It's like, don't watch this, but I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. Like,
maybe it was like a charity thing. I don't know. Yeah. I just felt like, you know, they tried or whatever.
So I've heard rumors, I don't know if this is true, but I watched a video about this movie, and that Addison Rae could never memorize her lines. They had to refilm like all of her scenes a million times. Not really a million times, but you know, several times, to the point where the crew and cast were getting like pissed off at her.
What was she allegedly doing? Like... or acting like, I mean...
she just couldn't memorize her lines. She didn't know her lines.
Oh, so it wasn't because she was, like, just being mean to, like, anyone, or, like...
no, it was just pissing people off that she couldn't... oh, okay. She couldn't comprehend memorization of her lines or anything.
Well, again, it's a movie debut. Maybe, yeah, you know...
give her a break, but still...
start something with something small... not a Netflix movie where it's like a whole lot of pressure. You know what I mean? Like,
and especially a remake of a movie that it's beloved by a whole generation of people, and maybe not make you the lead. You know, like maybe, you know, do a guest appearance on an episode of a Nickelodeon or Disney Channel show. Work your way up or something, you know? Yep. I don't know. But she is, sadly, one of the most famous people in the world that I had never heard of until, like, a week ago.
Because we're not on the platform.
No.
You know, TikTok has, it's like its own world.
I know.
And we're not part of that world. So to us, you know, like, I'm getting to the age now where, like, I just don't give a shit, like, who's popular a certain generation where, like you're supposed to be, like, in awe of this person. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, it almost, like, takes people aback, like, younger people, like, oh, did you realize you're talking about so-and-so? I'm like, I guess. Like,
I mean, she's a cute girl. She...
Whatever.
She sings and dances well, I guess.
I guess. Oh, we forgot about the karaoke scene. That was what started the whole thing off.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was such a cool... Man, I just felt so good watching that. I was like, oh, man.
Like, neither one of them could sing. Anyway, so...
yep.
But
it was a song they sang, Teenage something.
It was Katy Perry's Teenage Dream.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so I mean that's a thing. Like, okay, like almost a generation ago now, Katy Perry, maybe not the most talented person in the world, but at least talented. And I understand why people liked her. When I was a kid, people liked Madonna. I get why people liked her. I get why people liked Lady Gaga. I get why people liked Alyssa Milano when I was a kid. I get why people like, I don't know, Danielle Fishel as Topanga in Boy Meets World. I've got the Meets World, you know, thing in my mind because of the two actors. But you know what I mean? I get why people liked these people. I just don't get the whole TikTok and YouTube stars necessarily. Kind of get the YouTube stars a little bit, but I still don't fully.
What do we call it? It's parasocial. It's really insidious because it makes it seem like there's less of a gap between the star and their fans. But if in actuality, that gap actually might even be more pronounced than it ever was. But it's under the delusion that, oh, I can actually talk to this person on Twitter. You know, and it's like, they're probably not really even doing it. It's probably someone using their Twitter page.
Well, yeah.
Like, but, you know, like...
But it's like, I understand, you know, the whole, like, oh, I can do it too sort of thing. Like when Richard Linklater or Kevin Smith made Slacker or Clerks, that made me as a filmmaker think, I don't need a huge budget to make a movie. And now, of course, you don't. And the thing is, unfortunately, everybody has, like, easy access to inexpensive equipment to make movies or music or whatever they want, and people are doing TikTok. I get it, but the thing is, it's like, I know that some of the stuff on TikTok is creative, but I don't know. I'm worried about this short-form entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already have short attention spans. And I'm just worried that that's going to take away from, you know, massive sprawling, you know, entertainment. Like, you know, we're no longer going to have something like a Magnolia from Paul Thomas Anderson or, you know, that's like a long movie or even something like Lord of the Rings or whatever, you know. But we're not going to have these, like, beautiful types of films and stuff like that. But I guess that's two different things in a way, but it's just kind of worrisome. And it's just me being an old, grumpy old man, you know? It's just, yeah. I don't know.
Right.
I mean,
but
I did feel like we had some kind of victory when Quibi died. but I don't know. I just prefer long form entertainment when it comes to things, even if it's, you know, a TV series that just lasts, you know, has a, you know, a good, I like things with a beginning, middle, and end. I guess that's my thing.
Yeah.
Even if it's something short, it just, but like TikTok, a lot of the times it's just somebody dancing to a song.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, there's no beginning, yeah, middle, or end.
And that's it. That's the whole, yeah, it's, I don't, I guess every every generation has its thing or whatever, and I guess every generation thinks their thing is the coolest thing, but like, not necessarily though, because when I was younger, I liked some of the stuff that was current, sure,
yeah,
but a lot of the music I listened to was actually like the classic rock stuff, like from the 70s, maybe some early 80s. I mean, I did like Limp Bizkit for a while, but pretty much every kid of my generation at that point did, because they were just like such a huge band. Like, it would be impossible to not at least like one of their songs. But like, by and large, I mean, I was listening to like Yes and Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and that band Sugarloaf, just like, you know, these bands from that era. And so I guess from my perspective, I wasn't like thinking like, oh, well, my generation's got like the greatest, you know, whatever. But like, I think at a certain point, like, the protestations become true. So like, what I'm trying to say is like, of course, everyone says like, oh, well, we've gone too far. And everyone, of course, says that. But like, I think at one point it actually is going to be true. Like, it's going to be the boy who cried wolf type thing, you know? Like,
yeah, I understand. I mean, it's just, it's scary. It's, but I mean, like I said, my main complaint is the beginning, middle, and end lack of sort of thing. It's just like, I need that for my storytelling. I need to, I don't know. It'd be like just watching clips of The Godfather and not watching the whole movie. You know, it's just,
that's what some people do though now. That's exactly it though. Some people just watch clips of movies on YouTube now. They don't watch the whole movie, they just watch clips.
Yeah, and I
like I mean, I do it sometimes too, but not in instead of them, like not I, in place.
It's usually a movie you've seen before or something, right? Like, you're like, yeah, oh, I remember that funny scene in Step Brothers, so I'm gonna watch a clip from it or something. You know, that's different than not watching Step Brothers and only watching the clips from it.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's just, that's just an example of a movie. I don't know, it's the first one that popped in my head of a comedy, but it's just, you know, I don't know, because I literally know younger kids that all they've seen of movies is clips from it. And it's just weird. Like, you don't know the plot. You don't know why that's funny. You don't, I mean, there's a reason behind everything.
Exactly. It's like somebody, that's what bothers me about it the most too, I think. I know we both sound like grumpy old men right now, but well, I guess what gets me is the fact that like, it's not so much because they're just doing things different their own way, it's because people worked on this project, like hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people all went into this product, and you're not even watching the whole product, you just watch, you know what I mean? So it's like, you're not admiring your entire work that was created for you, you're just taking it piecemeal. And then I guess, and again, I guess that's not to go back into my weird communist rants, but I do think a lot of this stuff is connected, because capitalism is not just an economic, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's not just an economic philosophy. It permeates almost every aspect of life. So, and that includes shortening attention spans and stuff like that, because everything becomes commodified, but not only that, you know, you could just chip away at the things that you like within that product. So then the entire product itself doesn't really matter anymore. It's just the bits that you like about it. And then that very thing is encouraged for people to sort of just do that. You know, they're like, oh, well, this movie's 2 hours long, I don't really want to watch that. I mean, yes, you know, it costs money to make.
It's the whole, it's the whole idea of taking things out of context. It's like, and taking, you know, cherry picking what you like about something. It's just like how people, like you're saying about your whole like communism manifesto or whatever. But the whole but the whole thing where, like, you know, people cherry pick medical data to decide that, you know, ivermectin is a good thing to take for fucking COVID. Yeah. You know, I'm just saying.
It is a chipping away of, it's by the way, so I called it. I mean, it's not because I'm some brilliant person. Anyone could call it that he was going to credit ivermectin for getting better. And sure enough, he did. And it's like, and like, he even did it like, oh God, I hate this guy. I hate Joe Rogan.
Oh, so Joe Rogan. Okay, cool. I was wondering who you were talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry. He said ivermectin. He, yeah. So he, I was going to say, unfortunately, he survived, but that's a mean thing to say. But the reason why I was going to say that is because his survival means that other people aren't going to survive because of what he's promoting. So it's like his survival in crediting ivermectin is going to directly be related to other people dying who listen to him and believe what he says, even though he says, don't listen to me. But it's like, well, wait a minute. Don't listen to you, but yet you have a podcast where millions of people listen to you. So if you really wanted the people to not take your advice, you would have a podcast where you're just talking to nothing, to no one.
Yeah.
So like your argument makes no sense at all. And everyone
and he has, no time to vet the information that he spews out of his mouth because he's doing a show so often. It's just,
yeah, he does like 5 hours a day or some shit. Yeah. So it's like,
so, and people will cherry pick what he says too. Like he could come back and say, oh, well, I fucked up. This is what I said. And it's not right. But people aren't going to remember that. They're just going to remember what he said the first time, you know? It's like a retraction in the newspaper. People never read the fucking retraction that's buried on the 36th page of the newspaper, you know? It's
no one's going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's just what the world we live in.
It is, but I just got to make one more because I just got on Joe Rogan. Like, I can't...
Yeah.
I can't let it slide just for now, but just one more thing. So... He was on his show after he got better, and he talked about how there's this huge conspiracy. So now he's really doubling down on ivermectin shit. There's a whole medical conspiracy now. So all the doctors in the world got together, and they're like, you know what we got to do? We have to suppress the ivermectin information because we don't want people – we don't want – what was it? Because it's a cheap way of treating COVID-19, and we don't want people to get a cheap thing, but the vaccine is free. Wait, what?
Yeah, that makes no sense. And on top of that, it's like, oh, it's because of Big Pharma. But you know who makes ivermectin?
Big Pharma.
Exactly.
Jesus fucking Christ, dude. And then so like he would says all sheepish, like he's like, yeah, they're saying all this stuff about ivermectin. It's like a horse dewormer, and it's all things. But, you know, I kind of feel like a lot better. And it's like, but wait a minute. You, by yourself, admitted in your own video that you, quote, threw the kitchen sink at it. Well, you know how you test a theory? You do one thing, mm-hmm. and you see if that thing works. But then, even if that thing works, you test it again and again and again.
It's just like, you know, if I say I ate onions, fish, pizza, spaghetti, soup, a grilled cheese sandwich, all those things in one setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just specifically blamed the grilled cheese sandwich for me getting sick.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because you had a grilled cheese sandwich, right?
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is – excuse me, sorry. This is the – I mean, like – I think a part of him has to know how stupid he is. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't be that stupid. And maybe he is, but that's just really sad if he really is that stupid. Maybe he got hit in the head too many times with this MMA shit because he really did not have any intelligence whatsoever.
All I know is I long for a world where the worst thing that Joe Rogan did was make people eat goat testicles on TV. Yeah. You know.
Now he's making people take horse dewormer. Or, yes. Sorry, lifestyle. But that's the thing. So he goes, oh, well. The way that the media is spinning it is that they're calling it, sorry, a quote, horse dewormer, which that makes it sound, you know, ridiculous. And that, you know, they actually make it for human use. But the thing is, the people were actually going to feed stores to buy the animal version of the product.
The difference like, between those people and Joe Rogan is Joe Rogan is a millionaire.
Multi-millionaire.
Yeah. And some of these people are working paycheck to paycheck and don't have health insurance and can't go to their doctor, or maybe their doctor is smart and says, hey, maybe ivermectin isn't the best thing for you right now. But you know what those people can do in the United States? But the problem is his reach is beyond the United States, and you got people in Brazil and other countries that are, you know, in Portugal and other places that don't have good health insurance that –
all they can get is horse dewormer. They can't get the actual human medical grade version of this that's not going to kill you.
Right.
So you've got these people taking medicine intended for a different species of animal and literally shitting themselves to death. So, yeah.
But hey, man.
But, yeah.
Joe Rogan says it's great, so.
But anyways, somehow we got on this. And, but we should probably wrap things up here, Matt.
Sure.
Sorry for going off on our tangents here, folks. But, you know, I wish Addison Rae all the luck in the world. Joe Rogan, yeah. Not so much. And yeah, me too. I will tell you this. Even if I don't understand TikTok, Addison Rae is doing less damage to this world than Joe Rogan. So,
definitely.
I'll give her that. and both of them can't act. And, oh, God. But she has time to figure that out.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Unlike him.
Yeah. if you want to see Joe Rogan when he was actually good, watch news radio. Don't listen to his podcast. think of the good times when all he did was make people sleep in a big bat of bugs. And those good times.
Yeah.
Check out our Tee Public, folks. Nice shirts now. We got nice shirts. Nice shirts. Nice shirts. And they're nice and soft. I've got mine on right now. I'm feeling it. Feeling up my chest. I think I want to be left alone here, Matt. Oh wait. Anyway, so check out our Tee Public. Get yourself a nice shirt. Or any other merchandise we have there for Cullen Park stuff and All Too Real 2 stuff and everything. Give us a 5-star review if you like our show. Check out our alltoreal2.com for links to everything else. Wear a mask, get vaxxed, wear a condom. And until next time, folks.
Bye-bye.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.